Should we just start by trying the mint cake?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Yeah, open them up.
Which one do you want? We've got brown, we've got white, we've got chocolate.
I don't know. All of them?
We test. Yeah. Why not? Come on then, folks.
We're not going to do like an eating into the mic. All right, I'll open this one.
Okay. So to clarify, Scott, you've been away.
I was in Penrith on the weekend and Louis requested some mint cake, which I'd never heard of.
I thought you were in the Lakes. I don't want to shit on Penrith. It's near the Lake District. I would say it's more Cumbria.
Yeah, that's what their slogan is. It's near Lake District.
First impressions is that so, that smells very minty.
So I requested to bring back some Kendall mint cake.
Yeah. And if you don't know what that is, if you were me like 72 hours ago, it's kind of like a, would you say the most delicious tasting chalk you could think of?
I've not had it in a while either, but it was always kind of chalky.
Yeah, it's kind of a dense sort of tablet looking.
Mm-hmm. It's very minty.
It feels like you could have just excavated this from a cave. Yeah. It feels like a mineral.
Yeah, what a novelty. I don't know what the flavors are.
We've got a white, a brown, and I've got a chocolate covered one, which looks like the best deal.
Yeah, so far. All right, cool.
All right, cheers, boys.
Not as dry as I thought.
That's good shit, this one.
The chocolate one.
That is almightily refreshing. Good God. It is chocolate. That is much nicer than I anticipated,
Yay.
I have to say.
Yeah, this brown one's quite nice. I'm interested to see what the difference is between...
Yeah, that is literally the flavour we've been given, by the way. That's what it says on Wilson's of Kendall box. White and brown.
White, brown.
Are the two variants.
Chocolate.
It's very much like a nice little after dinner.
Isn't it? Yeah, that's what the chocolate one's like.
Digestif.
Yeah.
Like a bit of a mint slice type thing. Cool.
Respect. You want any more, Scott?
I'll try some later.
Yeah.
It's very, sorry. Very nice. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was my weekend. Hunting down some mint cake.
Whoa.
Vibrant stuff.
The brown is a kick.
Oh. So I feel like I've started the intense.
Yeah. In comparison, the white's more subdued.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll make it to that.
Yeah, exciting. Yeah.
Step by step.
If you're listening along, get your mint cake out.
Yeah, Once my taste buds come back.
Now that the seasons have turned, we've gone full elderly. Louis is actually sat in a blanket as we speak as well, and we've got some cups of black tea with a little bit of Talinmore, which is non-alcoholic gingery spice in there as well. So we've fully gone. That was a nice bit of ASMR with a spoon, by the way, Scott. We've fully embraced, we're all sat in our little jumpers as well, we've embraced the winter months.
Yeah, 2 weeks we'll have some spice lattes.
That's it. I'll do like an isolated. Delish.
There we go. Good, well thank you for bringing that back. I hope you enjoy it.
Thanks for requesting
mint cake.
Yeah, it's what a roller coaster our taste buds are on today.
Mint.
Ginger.
Romney's, that's the one I recognize. We'll get onto that later.
Okay.
Popular amongst climbers and mountaineers as a source of energy.
Right.
I don't think it's a great source of energy. I think it's a source of energy in the same way people have Weetabix.
Okay.
It's like people had this 60 years ago and didn't die, so they thought it was a good thing.
Right. So endurance people aren't like taking it first thing in the morning.
People aren't flocking to mint cake or Weetabix.
Okay.
Or Lucozade anymore.
Lucozade is a great example.
Lucozade really latched on to having some sort of sporting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just a fizzy drink, you know? And the fizzy drinks are handy. They're good to have, but they became synonymous with sports.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the classic advert with John Barnes, the former Liverpool and England player, who said something like, when you've been through 90 minutes of sheer hell. And it showed him swigging some Lucozade at the end.
It's like drinking Coke.
Yeah. Right, so not like definitively saying like this helps, but just
okay. Oh, so yeah, it's like this sports person's drinking it, therefore the implication is
you also can be a sports person. Yeah. Right, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
And isn't it in the Super Bowl where they dump a load of Gatorade on the winning coach at the end as well? They've done so well out of this.
That must have been like a big Gatorade plan, like when Kellogg started saying that breakfast was the most important meal of the day. I reckon someone from Gatorade was like, hey, this would be good. Go on.
Okay. Genius.
Gatorade was originally made for the Gators at the University of Florida to replenish the carbohydrates at the school's athlete's bones.
Nice. Not for literal alligators.
No. I mean, that's a more serious origin story than I expected.
Nice.
Hmm. Yeah, it was an electrolyte replenishment. That's what their whole...
Electrolytes. Even they sound made up from the old days.
We're not a medical podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like the, sort of the vapors or something like that.
Yeah.
Black bile, yellow bile replenishment.
Yeah. What were we chatting about? Oh, yeah, you had fun?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, saw some nice outdoorsy things, some old houses, castles, some people call them.
Nice.
Yeah, 3-story castle.
Don't get that here.
No castles. Yeah. It was funny actually seeing the narrative from the other side of like, oh, this castle was built to keep the Scots out. So, yeah, that was quite good. But no, it was nice. Definitely, yeah, if you're looking for a nice, quiet getaway, go check out Penrith.
Penrith.
Yeah. Not Sydney Penrith, England Penrith.
It's a very different vibe, I imagine.
Yes, very different. Sydney Penrith is, yeah, a lot more metropolitan,
okay.
I guess. Yeah. But now it was good. It was good. You just had a nice weekend, I take it?
Yes, I saw some art. I went to see the Peter Howson exhibition at the City Art Centre. Okay. You know, the sort of monumental, fleshy, angry men. It tends to be his forte. It was brilliant.
Oh, I've been to Penrith. the big square in the middle.
Yeah.
I passed through and sat in that square to recover my wits.
Was that cycling?
Yeah, to recover my electrolytes. I think I did go to Greg's.
Okay. Get those electrolytes up.
There's a Greg's in that square. There I think is. I went to the Greg's.
Right, okay.
So there we go. I've been to Penrith as well.
In the museum, there was someone had done a puzzle of the square and then given it to the museum. Yeah. And there was a big, well, not a big, there was like one small section that was like, here's some of the things that you could have found in houses. And it's just some stuff that some lady donated.
Oh, yeah. I like the element of, yeah, everything you've got is valuable. If it's from Penrith, if you're from Penrith.
That's it.
Just contribute.
Appreciated. But, yeah, good art.
It was amazing, actually. Yeah, it turns out, I don't want to bring this to a dark place, but I didn't know this was a thing. He was the official artist of the kind of Bosnian war.
Oh.
In the 90s, which I didn't know was a thing you were. So he was commissioned to go out there and paint what he saw.
Scenes.
So, I mean, they are, it's astonishing art. It's incredibly dark art, but I just didn't know that there was such a thing.
Yeah.
And it almost, you know, almost means, because obviously there's war photographers and that kind of thing who get sent out to take, you know, to bring back, the, you know, if anything from a more newsy perspective, but to have someone there to sort of bring back an impression of it in more of a way. It was extremely powerful, really interesting stuff.
Yeah, right. Didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, he was he was commissioned and sent out there, which is an absolutely insane job to have.
Nice. Setting up with an easel and yeah.
And then that night I hosted karaoke. Oh, so it's all the sides of the brain being stimulated.
Wow. Okay. Sure. Louis.
What did I do?
Yeah.
I won a very speculative bet.
Oh, okay.
Didn't take you as a gambling man?
No, every now and again. For betting enthusiasts, I won a 16-fold accumulator in the football.
Oh, cool.
That's astonishing.
Yeah, one of those, one comes in every 5 years. And I live off that for the next 5 years.
Incredible.
Nice.
So yeah, that was, I totally forgot, and then checked back in the day after. I was like, oh, nice, look at this. I'm a genius.
16-fold is insane.
Predicted 16 teams to win.
Oh, well. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then I had a bike race on the Sunday.
Nice. How'd you get on?
Decent. There was a mix-up at the start, so I was a little bit further back than I thought it was meant to be. But good fun overall.
Okay. Was it road?
Off-road.
Off? On the two times.
But I'll smuggle some mint cake with me and I'll be fully energized.
Nice.
What varied lives we lead.
For the next one.
All right. Well, we got 5 questions for the percentage game. I'm going to do my best to explain what the percentage game is again, because last week's...
You've not introduced who we... Do we...
We can do it again.
Okay. I'm Scott.
And the other two, not Scott. I'm Scott.
No, he's not.
And I'm the logistics manager and the head cleaner of the office.
And I'm a junior cleaner of the office, Jack, and events manager of Goose's Quizzes also.
Hello, I'm Louis, and I'm a mint cake enthusiast.
Ooh. Louis knows when to hold them, knows when to fold them.
16 times.
16 times.
16 folds. Cool. All right, well, we'll get into the percentage game. The percentage game, we have five questions. Oh, now Louis dipping his mint into his tea. I expected it to disappear a little bit. It did not at all. It just got a good sheen on it. The percentage game, take two. The percentage game, we take five questions that we did in the quiz during the week. We do regular pub quizzes around Edinburgh and Glasgow. And then we know the percentages of teams that got each one correct. So Jack and I are going to guess the answer and also the percentage of teams that got those questions correct. Whoever's closest gets more points, and then whoever has the most points at the end wins.
Do you want more mint cake trivia?
Bit smoother. Yeah.
So we talked about Lucozade and John Barnes. Mint cake did a similar thing. And they marketed it under the umbrella that Ernest Shackleton took it with him for his Arctic expedition.
The John Barnes of his day.
Yeah, the John Barnes of Arctic exploration, Ernest Shackleton. And if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for these bozos. So you can have some mint cake.
What an episode you're into for today.
Hello, everyone. So, five questions. We pumped?
Ready.
Good stuff. Let's get into it. Question one. You got your whiteboards squeaky clean?
Check. Didn't really come through last week when we tried to.
Or do it in post. Question one. Name the 2021 satirical film directed by Adam McKay about astronomers' warning of an approaching comet.
2021.
Yeah. Answer percentage. Satirical Adam McKay film. Astronomers' warning of an approaching comet.
I think I've seen this one.
I've not seen it, but I think I know what it is.
All right. What would you say?
I think it's Don't Look Up.
I was going to say Don't Look Up.
Yeah. Is it any good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's very much like, what would you call it? Like a commentary?
Yeah, quite satirical.
Commentary. Yeah. So I can't remember too much what happened. I just remember.
So not the most biting satire you've ever seen.
Yeah. Tom Hanks being like a real sciencey dude and people not believing him. And then someone coming in being more like influencery.
Yeah.
And them kind of taking what they have to say with a bit more credence. So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Sounds. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see Tom Hanks suffer in any capacity.
No, it's tough to see. But yeah. Yeah, there's some quite funny bits in there. I'd say watch it.
Nice. I reckon this will be in the cultural consciousness of our audience quite deeply, you know.
I think it was quite memed as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks?
In general.
Was he in it?
Was he in it?
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure he is. I might be thinking of a different movie.
Are you thinking of Borat 2?
No, Tom Hanks is in it.
The Terminal.
Are you saying that Tom Hanks is not in it?
He's not credited.
Isn't he?
No.
Who's the main person?
DiCaprio.
DiCaprio. Okay.
I don't want to influence your percentages, right. But...
It was one of them.
Yeah.
DiCaprio.
I'm happy to see him suffer.
Yeah, that's fun. Got my, let's call it the Catch Me If You Can effect, where you get Tom Hanks and DiCaprio mixed up.
Hey, this guy. Right, so answer.
Okay.
Answer, catch.
Catch Me If You Can.
Don't look up. Percentage, though. Of teams that I think got it correct.
Yeah. Mint cake update. It was also used by Sir Edmund Hillary when they scaled Everest.
Yeah.
Oh, the taste of history. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Packaging for some of it includes the following. We sat in the snow and looked at the country far below us. We nibbled Kendall mint cake. And one member of the team wrote, "It was easily the most popular item on our high altitude ration. Our only criticism was that we did not have enough of it." I mean, I tell you what, they knew how to sell coffee in the 50s.
It's great. Yeah, yeah. Is that?
There's only one bad thing. and that's how good it is. Carry on. Don't look up. Percentage.
Okay.
Oh, heck. Oh, Jack, you've said
81%.
And Scott?
82%.
Oh, one of you is two away. One of you is one away.
Oh, no.
So this one came out at 83%.
Oh, yes.
So Scott's only one away. He gets full points. Jack's two away.
That is astonishing.
He gets one point.
Love that. Love that. Nice.
I've not seen it either. We have a list of fun facts put together. Behind the scenes stuff. Jennifer Lawrence. You remember she was in it, Scott?
Yep.
Jennifer Lopez. lost a tooth while eating a lolly near the beginning of filming.
She's one of the more kind of slapstick Hollywood actors, isn't she? Going around nowadays. She's got an enjoyably sort of klutzy energy to it that is extremely relatable.
Yeah. Okay. It took a long time for me to realize that she was Mystique in X-Men.
Yeah.
I saw, by the way, a trailer for X-Men for whatever film came out about 6 or 7 years ago that featured Wayne Rooney sort of being recruited as an X-Man. Like, they had a partnership with Manchester United. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Right, okay.
Where it's sort of, he's sort of CGI'd into scenes in the film, where all the X-Men are all stood sort of back to back with the camera panning around them, watching the force of destruction wreak havoc. Oh, and there's Wayne Rooney carrying a football under his arm in his full kit.
As if that's his mutant power. Right.
Yeah, they were like, we need some quick reflexes from David De Gea, the goalkeeper. And all that. It's absolutely mortifying.
Okay.
But I think I would have gone to see that film had that actually been the case.
If Wayne Rooney was in it.
So that's the Sophie Turner one from a few years ago.
Yeah, it's well worth checking out.
X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
Lost a tooth, not during X-Men.
Yeah, I had to get a veneer in, couldn't go to the dentist because of COVID. Oh. It was CG'd in post.
Okay.
That is incredible. These poor overworked CG artists having to fill in a tooth by frame.
All that money on Thingy's mustache from Mission Impossible. Henry Cavill's mustache. Yeah. Yeah, well done. Well done, Scott.
Thank you very much. I'm in it to win it today. Okay. All right, we've been taking a little dive into nostalgia. How long does something have to be until you can be nostalgic about it?
That is a great shout. I think I sometimes get that literally. If I've had a good night out the day after, just like, not going to have that again for a while. Yeah, I think it just has to be in the past. Like the past day, I would say nostalgia can set in.
Okay. Like, remember that sandwich we had earlier?
Yeah.
Anyway, we've been a little bit nostalgic about the Fringe that we had. We had a mighty fun Fringe in August, largest performing arts festival in the world. We had a show in the Elimination Game. It was great. During that, we decided that we were going to pretty much just build up a little archive of voice messages. And we listened to some last week from Goose at the practice shows. So I'm going to listen to two more if I can get this to scroll down properly. Yeah.
That's, we just got backstage for the first or the second test show in a series. We seem to be all ready with the questions. We've been working really hard on the system today with a few meltdowns, but otherwise it's been good. But we are ready to go for the show. We're starting in about 35 minutes, something like that. People will come in, and then about a half hour after that, we're going to be going. But yeah, pretty excited about it now.
It's fantastic. You can already hear the Fringe mentality setting in with the feverish excitement in his voice, and B, the phrase, we've had a few meltdowns, but other than that, all good. It's like, plow on, for goodness sake.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I think during the actual Fringe run, I mean, I don't know if we get to it. I don't think we will, because we didn't really have any major hiccups, did we?
Well, there was this on the second, was it the second night? Where it was an 18-plus guidance show was ours. Guidance in brackets, you know, so it's not entirely enforced. And was it a 12-year-old girl supposedly won a bottle of Prosecco on the first night, which we simply were not prepared for in any way. So I was sent on a panicked Haribo run.
Yes.
the following day.
Yeah, that was less in our hands.
Yes.
That was a more unforeseen.
That was astonishing.
Box office, yeah, mishap. But But otherwise, I mean, we didn't have anything like the pre-shows. There was a bit of a, like you said, meltdown. We didn't have anything like that during the actual run, which I guess is why we do the pre-shows.
Yeah. No, it was astonishingly smooth. You've done based almost entirely down to yourselves, of course, on the tech side of things, the question side of things.
I didn't touch the presentation, so I can't get credit for that. But yeah, I quite enjoyed the test shows. It was good fun. We changed it a bit from the first one, which I think was a lot better received.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the progress from first test show to second test show to first proper show was exponential. It was really exciting to see it kind of growing into itself in real time.
Yeah, yeah. Still wasn't ideal setup because Louis and I were supposed to be sort of sitting together, because at that point I still didn't know what Louis was doing. And I was a little bit stressed about it.
Yes.
I was like, I've not really had any hands-on time, but I mean, recently made that as simple as possible.
Yeah, you were absolutely so magnificent. And yeah, that was very much in the kind of nether zone between full robo voice accompanying the show and not having that whatsoever.
Not having the robot, yeah, the quiz computer. Yeah.
Rip.
Now it was good. We almost had a full house for the second show.
Yes, and someone won £50 bar voucher.
That's right.
As well. We actually gave away the first big prize.
Yeah.
That night to our friend Annie, who works on the same floor as us. So yeah, it was stunning stuff.
Yeah. Now it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Well, this next one's from someone not Goose.
Uh oh.
Hello. I'm off stage watching Goose pose while Scott and Jack take pictures of him. There's a lot of pointing involved. Oh no, he's got the camera pointing at me. Half an hour to go.
That's a voice message there.
There we
go. Synced.
Yeah.
A little bit of intrigue.
A little bit of a different background.
Yeah.
That was, yeah, I remember that photo shoot. It was good.
It was, yeah, and Goose does very much have his own signature pose. If Bruce Forsyth has that kind of strange kind of strongman silhouette that he kept as a sort of catchphrase / pose for years, Goose is very much the legs agape high point.
Loves a point.
Legs agape.
That's his nickname.
Yeah. Yeah, so that photo shoot was excellent. There was a lot of fanning of giant novelty playing cards. He had a little crown on. It was absolute king of all he surveyed that day. And of course, the unwashed since 2019 green jacket clinging on for dear life.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I think it might be at his home.
I think it might have just spontaneously combusted. Dissolved. After 24 more shows of punishment.
Once it hit the oxygen outside.
Yeah, natural light.
All right, question two, sports. In regards to auto racing, what does the S in NASCAR stand for?
Oh, God almighty. Well, we royally buggered up the motoring question last week.
We did, didn't we?
North American.
Oh, yeah. North American. Speedway.
That's not a bad shout. That's what they do it on.
What would the C be? Speedway
something car. North American something something
circuit
automobile racing speedway circuit automobile racing
speedway circuit automobile racing
snappy. It is snappy. That's the best I'm gonna be able to dredge up. I think
North American
speedway circuit automobile racing, that's not a bad guess, you know.
Speedway circuit, that's a little bit tautology, that's a bit redundant, I think. North stock car North American stock car automobile racing.
Yeah, but then we've got car and automobile. That's a tautology.
Ah, true.
Do we think they cared that much, or do we think they just wanted the acronym NASCAR? At the end of the day, they started with that and worked backwards,
because NASCAR NASCR doesn't stock car. I think they are stock cars.
Yeah, it sounds about right to me. There'll be people listening to this who will be furiously berating us for not getting this.
Speed car. I think okay, Speedway or stock car. Stock.
Okay, you're locking in stock.
Stock?
Correct.
Oh, nice. I thought you were wrong there, I'll be honest with you. That's excellent going.
The National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing.
Okay, so we've got one and a half of the letters.
All right.
correct.
Okay.
So yeah, think of a percentage. How many teams know their stock from their speedway? Started in the southern Appalachian Mountains during the Prohibition era to transport moonshine illegally, high speed, low light, dark, twisty roads, and then became legit, founded NASCAR, Belle France.
Huh.
I mean...
And now they just go around in a circle.
I was going to say, twisty roads develops into...
Take that out of it.
Just going...
Take the booze out of it.
Just going around in a circle. It's not a twisty road. Get back to your roots, NASCAR. Yeah, put some moonshine in the back. Add some peril.
I've got a percentage, but I'm not sure.
I can get some moonshine in the pod next week.
Oh, that would be fantastic. What? I bet that is like rocket fuel. Pop that in the engine. It's like King Charles nowadays has got a Jaguar, I think, or some other posh kind of car that he's converted to run on wine. Do you know about this?
Yeah.
His sort of champagne environmentalism means that he's converted his car to run on sort of old excess white wine, I think it is, which is the most, if someone said that as a joke, you would think, no, that is too stereotypical.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. Get that on the NASCAR circuit.
What, can you look up what, like, is defined, what moonshine is? Like, what is defined as moonshine?
I just had it up there.
Well, there's the sort of...
I think moonshine is generally...
Just anything
whiskey.
That's not...
High-proof liquor. I think moonshine is more a term for the way it's distributed.
Yes.
A.K.A. illegally.
Illegally. Mm-hmm. Unlicensed.
So I think you could call anything moonshine, you know, wink, in inverted commas.
Okay. All right.
It's the opposite of clandestine, isn't it? If it's defined, the name moonshine is defined by the fact that it is illegal. So they drop some moonshine, wink.
Defined as homemade, unaged whiskey, marked by its clear colour, corn base, and high alcohol content.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Winter is coming, baby.
I was given free moonshine years ago. It was probably the last time I blacked out. It was like 2 p.m. and I was watching the football somewhere and I'd not really eaten much. And
oh, wow.
There was no one in this place. And clearly had like a rep in from moonshine, some big moonshine. And he gave out some free samples and that set things off.
Beautiful. Oh,
wow. I was in Glasgow and I ended up in Edinburgh. I don't know how I got home.
You woke up and you'd won a 32 fold ACCA.
I was on the bus and then I was like, oh, really safe.
Someone left a bottle in the hostel I used to live in and it just had like the only thing. It was obviously not, it was in a bottle that wasn't like, it was like a juice bottle or something. And someone had just written in marker the percentage that it was. And everyone was like,
that's a different percentage game.
Yeah, right. Much riskier.
Yeah, so moonshine and mead for next week.
All right.
Three, two, one, turn. Right, Jack, you've said...
49%.
Scott, you've said...
53%.
49 and a 53. There's a 3 in the answer.
Oh, 30.
And there's also a 4 in the answer. It's 43. So Jack's
Blimey, I thought I'd lowballed then.
43%. So... Jack, 6% away. Scott, 10% away.
Well, sometimes you just have to get lower than me.
we're very much in tune with our public today, I think. Those are two close run rounds so far.
Mm. Well, got 3 more questions left. Let's go to an ad and we'll come back.
Want to help us help charities fundraise? Join the Fundraising Wing Patreon so we can provide free fundraising quizzes for charities. We've already helped raise over £8,000 for charities across the UK. Visit goosesquizzes.com for more information.
Right, question 3. Question 3. What is mycology, the study of? M-Y-C-O-L-O-G-Y.
Mycology.
Yeah.
M-Y-C.
I think, presume it's how you say it.
Mycology. That rings a distant bell. I don't know if I've run this at a quiz about a year and a half ago or something like that, but that is infuriating. The first thing that comes to mind, for some reason, and I don't, again, this could be related to nothing, is bacteria. I don't know why that, there's no reason for that, but that has just jumped out at me from nowhere. I realise this is not good audio content because there's no, I have no bearings or anything to do with that.
Okay. It's the start of a thought process. Is that because it's close to microbiology?
It could well be. I'm trying, because with these things, the route in generally is through the linguistic part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is to look at the kind of the root word, the etymology of the first bit. But with MYC, that's beyond my ken a little bit, really.
Yeah. Myo is usually like muscles, but MYC.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a hard one to parse out. If you don't know it, this is quite a hard one
myology,
to parse out.
Myology, the study of muscles.
Okay, so it's not that.
Their physical structures, fibers, function, and how they interact between different muscle groups.
Sounds fun. I'm imagining lots of electrocuting things if you're a myologist.
Yeah, lots of zapping.
Nice.
Can we get a clue? I think we can both say we don't know.
Yeah, not Scooby.
But right, we still want to guess.
Take a different guess each.
Okay.
That's not bacteria.
Birds. No, that'd be ornithology.
That's ornithology, yeah.
It's just that we know too much about other things as well.
We actually look really good in this moment because we just know too much about other things.
Is it something physical?
Yes.
Okay.
Not spiritual.
Right. Is it something organic?
Yes.
All right, if we can get this in 20.
Yeah, let's do
20
it.
Questions.
Animal Kingdom.
A great audio feature.
Yeah. Animal Kingdom.
Yes.
Ooh.
No.
Oh.
No.
Is it bacteria?
No.
Oh, why did I think that? This is what a waste of everyone's time. Yes. So tangentially, yes, it's in the animal kingdom.
So do you mean like insects or do you mean like plants?
Yes.
Plants.
Oh, plants. Okay.
Specific type of plant or just plants?
The answer is not plants. No. Okay.
All right. I think at this point you just tell us.
It is fungi.
Oh,
I would not have got that.
That is quite a fundamental one, isn't it? A pretty fundamental group.
Yeah.
Oh dear, that was tortuous.
I mean, it's an industry to get into. Apparently, there's been 140,000 types of fungi have been formally described.
How many of them can you eat?
But a recent study says there could be up to 5 million different types.
Oh, they've done a rubbish job so far.
Really slacking. We could get into it and name at least five each.
A ways to go. They've named almost all the muscles.
Yeah, true. But there's not 5 million muscles, though. So
that's also true.
No. Yeah. How many muscles are there?
Pretty limited. I don't know, a fair few. Right. There's a lot.
Okay.
How many muscles?
I can see where I got bacteria from. I think I have asked that question like a while ago.
600.
Okay. Some people miss muscles. Some people don't have like certain muscles.
Ooh.
Yeah. I used to...
Wimps.
I used to study with a guy who didn't have like this one in their neck.
Right.
But your neck can like... It's one of the big like turning muscles, but he just used different muscles.
Yeah, he always looks straight ahead in life.
Yeah. What a motivation. All right. Fungi. Okay.
I think people in general have done better at that than we did there.
I also think so.
But more or less than NASCAR. How do you compare? How on earth do you possibly compare people's knowledge like this?
I mean, they're very different fields, aren't they? But yes, I got one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, write it down.
I've got a tentative one.
3, 2, 1, go.
Oh.
Right, Jack, you've said?
I've said 38%.
Scott?
48%.
48%. So 10 between yous. 38 and a 48, this one came out at 67%.
Ah, well done, people.
Yeah, well done, everyone.
People know their mushrooms.
I'm kind of glad that they do. I'm happy that they...
So, yeah, from his elation, you can tell Scott's closest. He's 19 away. It's 2 points. 1 point to Jack, who's 29.
Can wrap it up in the next question. Oh, my word. Well, I did. I said that I thought people would do better at that than us and then ignored my own advice, essentially. Ploughed on.
You did go higher than NASCAR, though.
To be fair. That is true.
Right. Outside the Box is coming back.
It is. Let's have a little pivot to, a very different style of questioning. Our flagship kind of cryptic quiz returns on Thursday, the 19th of November. With our friends at Assembly Roxy, fabulous churchy wee venue where we had all our test shows. Mm-hmm. Really excited to bring it back. It's been 4 months since the last one after the kind of, usually it's seasonal, but obviously the Fringe enforced an absence. So we're really revved up.
Yeah, that's flown by.
Yeah, it's astonishing, isn't it? June was the last one.
Always exciting though.
It is. It's absolutely brilliant fun. It's kind of cryptic questions with a bit of a pop culture twist. It's written by our fabulous friend Mark, who may or may not be appearing on the pod soon to give it a wee plug.
Yeah, we'll try and get him on. He's a busy man,
but he's a fabulous guest. And yeah, it's sort of, we've had rounds before, such as Shakespearean song lyrics, as you decode from Shakespearean English, which Mark has somehow nailed the Shakespearean timbre. It's incredible. Last time we had some Google Street View related rounds. Who doesn't love Google Street View? Mm-hmm. Sort of from looking out from famous landmarks. So you had to get clues from the environment around, say, the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yes, or
the Eiffel Tower or the Taj Mahal. You're not looking at it, you're looking at what's around it.
Or the square in Penrith where the Greggs is.
Exactly, yeah. With a bit of, it's the sort of quiz where on that round, every single one had latitude and longitudinal coordinates.
Right.
If you're the kind of person who likes that, this is very much for you. It really drills down in some really interesting, exciting places. And you get free very Moorish pretzels.
Yes.
As well.
Absolute hit last time.
Mm. Yeah. It's a fabulous wee team thing. So just have a look on the Assembly Roxy website. We're there. Tables of 4 and 6 available. And of course, magnificent prizes. You can win a tour of a distillery, Holyrood Distillery. It's a magnificent place. And you can also win a trip to an escape room as well. Bit of Case Closed, apply those puzzling skills to a more physical environment with our friends at Case Closed. And more to come as well.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends how many tastes you have at the distillery. That could also be an escape room.
I'm assured it's not a sort of Charlie in the Chocolate Factory like experience, or if you're naughty on the way around, you're immersed in one of the vats.
Oh, that's exciting. But we'll try and get Mark on for a bit of a chat. He's always good fun. And have a look at the show notes.
Question 4, 50-50. Which weighed more, the heaviest man ever or the heaviest pumpkin ever?
Oh, blimey. Okay. So, the heaviest pumpkin ever would have a bigger surface area, one would imagine, but the heaviest man ever would probably be a bit more like internally dense.
But those 600 muscles.
Quite dense, yeah. Yeah.
But these giant vegetables, right, surely it must be going on for like a ton or something like that. Maybe that's too high. But a big old, one of those pumpkins are astonishing. And I can't imagine they're bred for their taste, the sort of the tenderness and lightness of the flesh.
Yeah. Do you think it's like, not as concentrated the taste?
Exactly. But also what I'm finding difficult about this question is that I measure the weight of people and the weight of pumpkins in different ways in my head. Like how many stone?
Take us through it.
How many stone is the heaviest pumpkin ever is not something my mind can compute. I have like a relative scale of how heavy people are.
Yeah.
That does not match up with my pumpkin scale, my internal pumpkin scale, Scott.
I don't know if I could tell you how much sort of a regular-sized pumpkin would be.
Yeah.
Well, it is the season, almost.
Yeah,
we're getting there. We are getting there.
I think heaviest man makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Just
or is it a classic
density?
A classic double bluff? Yeah, think of all the guts. Pumpkins don't have guts.
They got seeds?
They do have seeds.
What are seeds, if not
guts?
Guts.
Seeds are more like sperm, I suppose.
There we go.
But is a sperm or a seed?
How heavy is that sperm in there?
Yeah.
You can go for different answers. You don't have to choose the same thing.
Yeah, why don't you? I'll go pumpkin, you go all man.
Right, I'll go man.
It's one of my favorite questions.
It's a good one.
Every now and again, we do quite a lot of questions that people have probably asked before in different contexts. Just saw, you know, there's a good chance that people have put the right words together in the same sentence and asked it in the past 50 years. I don't think many people have asked between the heaviest man ever, the heaviest pumpkin ever.
Yeah.
It's the pumpkin.
Ah.
It's a big old heavy pumpkin.
Incredible.
The heaviest pumpkin ever weighed 1,222 grams. Ooh. Kilograms, sorry.
So that is a ton. That is more than
a
ton.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good Lord. And the do we have heaviest man data?
That's a lot of pumpkin soup.
Let me just since the pumpkin's 193 stone.
Good grief! Yeah, okay. And do we have person data?
I don't know how stones work.
I don't know how much a stone actually weighs, but I know it in sort of relative to people.
Yeah, I mean it's all relative, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean you know they've got the kilograms in Paris, isn't it?
Yes, the official kilogram.
They redid it last year, and they swapped it for a big old pumpkin. This is how we measure things from now on. The heaviest man, his weight varied, but yeah, it was at most less than half of the pumpkin.
Whoa!
So the pumpkin was at least twice as heavy as the heaviest man ever.
Okay.
Incredible. That would be such a fabulous jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, it was the guy that did it. It was a guy from Italy. And I don't know, he was putting in the grass, or the crops, but a big crop that year.
Moonshine.
He also won second and third in the competition with his pumpkins.
Oh, wow.
That's just greedy.
Yeah.
I mean,
but could the world's heaviest man eat the world's heaviest pumpkin?
That is a lot of pumpkin.
And
it'd really loosen you up.
He won the European Giant Pumpkin Championships that year in Germany.
Ah.
Despite the weight going down by 9 kilograms.
Self-conscious. What we always say is just find... You can be a world record holder. Anyone could be a world record holder. Just find something very, very niche or that has never been done before.
That old saying, can you do it in a rainy night at the European Giant Pumpkin Championships in Germany?
We always say that.
This is a rabbit hole here.
Like a walking jack-o'-lantern.
The European Giant Vegetable Growers Association. Oh, it's a very German thing. If you join, you get a packet of seeds.
Oh, lovely.
Oh.
How much is membership?
Oh, and then do you send them seeds? I'll dig into it.
Okay.
But.
Yeah, we'll have a go next week. Present the largest vegetables we've managed to grow.
Yeah, I'm going to call it here. The road to heaviest pumpkin starts now.
Yeah,
we're going to do it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, the Italian lad, it took him 6 months to grow it.
Ah, that's nothing.
Yeah, we can get in this game.
Yeah, it's probably exactly the season for pumpkins.
I just
think about pumpkins.
I would just be happy to be there to make it to the European Giant Vegetable Growers Association Championship in Germany.
Is it in Germany every year?
I think they're based in Germany.
Wow.
I love it. That's fantastic.
How exciting. Okay. Lovely. Good.
I'm going to find them on Facebook.
Answers time?
Oh, here we have
percentages. Yeah, we just got carried away with pumpkin news.
The 50-50 ones are really hard.
God, this is just like the roller coaster group. See you at big pumpkins. No, they send out seeds. Fantastic.
All right.
What are we doing? We're playing this game, aren't we? Percentages, go, turn.
Just for the next like 10 minutes or so, then we can go wild.
I can go look at pumpkin videos. Jack, you said...
I said 46%.
Scott.
I think the people would have been wishful for a pumpkin, so I went 71.
Pumpkin. 46 and a 71. This one came out at 54%, so Jack's closest. Oh. 8 away, gets 2 points. Scott's further away. Gets 1 point. So we're neck and neck into the final question.
Oh, don't like it.
Nail biter. All right. We'll see.
Final one.
Let's do it.
You excited?
So pumped.
You tense? €20 to join the European Giant Vegetable Growers Association.
Right. Not bad, actually.
Yeah.
21 if you use PayPal. Question 5. Who was the Roman god of the sea? Roman god sea.
Which one was Neptune?
That's a good question. Neptune and Poseidon are the names running around my
Trident,
head.
Trident.
The band.
King Trident. Was he an actual one or was that just Little Mermaid?
What, King Trident?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's yeah, I'm not sure that's canon.
Okay. Poseidon, he had that adventure.
I
think Poseidon's, Poseidon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Neptune has really thrown me. I was so convinced it was Poseidon until you said Neptune just there. This is the sort of thing we should know.
Neptune.
We should know our Greek and Roman gods. This is easy quiz fodder.
Yeah. I think Neptune's Greek.
Yeah? We're locking Poseidon?
Yeah.
Do you know what the planets are named after?
Greek gods.
No.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. Damn it. I got it flipped. Except Earth. Earth isn't.
No, it's not. But the rest of them are. The answer is Neptune.
That is genuinely quite
embarrassing. Poseidon is... you got there in the end. Poseidon is the Greek.
Right. I got it flipped. I'm sorry, Jack.
No, you proffered Neptune. That was on me, that one.
I thought all the planets were named after Greek gods.
Yeah, Jupiter, Saturn... The planets that you're aware of.
I wonder what other planets there are.
And the dog.
Oh, that's hit my confidence, is that?
Yeah, Greek gods predate Roman ones and sort of just copied them over, changed the names. Zeus was Jupiter.
Okay.
Kronos, Saturn, Aphrodite, Venus, Aries, Mars.
Kronos would be a great name for a planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proper alien stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm fuming about that. I'll never forget that now. I'll never forget that factoid.
I'll continue to get it. Like,
we've got it on record. He's never going to forget
it. Oh, dear.
Yeah, if you see Jack in the street, you can
ask
quiz
him. Jack, quiz him. Who is the Roman god of the sea?
Prod me with a trident.
Tattoo time.
All right, but what do people know?
Mm.
I reckon people will know it,
yep,
but I reckon people will also get confused
right
between the two.
Right, I'm locked in. Accidentally the percentage symbol wrong, which doesn't bode well.
Mars is another planet.
Yeah, we said that. Yeah. Aries.
A lot of thought going into this final one.
All right.
Ooh.
Okay.
Turn. Wow.
Okay.
So... Jack, you've said...
I've said 68%.
Scott?
78%.
78%. It is betwixt you two.
Oh. Oh!
To make it more tense. 68, 78. This one, the final one, the decider came out at 72%.
Oh!
Oh, no.
1% victory.
So, yeah, Jack's 4% away. Scott's 6% away.
Oh, astonishing.
Finishes in 8-7 in favor of Jack for 2 weeks in a row.
Incredible. Oh, my word.
Proud of you.
That was an incredible... That was so competitive.
What a battle.
It's the mint cake. It's really improved our performance.
Yeah. And that's it. South Pole, Everest, today's podcast.
Ah, well done. You get... some brown mint cake.
Yes, I've not had that yet, actually.
Yeah,
what a win.
I'm going to try the other two. It'll be delicious.
Stunning stuff. Oh, what, nice. What an epic bit of quizzing that was.
Wow, I'm shaking.
I'm still gutted about that last question, but nevertheless, we fight on. That's a slight salve to the wound.
Yeah, well, it's a learning experience for us. So
yeah, learning what you should already bloody know is what I've learned today.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, all right, let's say goodbye. Yep, jump on the social medias, check what we got going on. Outside the Box will be out there soon. I think we're going to put like some kind of teaser sample questions up.
Yes, you can have a go at the Google Street View round. Yeah. I may or may not have given away three of the answers that I realise in the pre-seat earlier on. However, you know the kind of place we're looking for, folks.
Yeah.
They may, yeah, we'll stick it out there. Keep your eyes peeled on the social. And yet, loads of other stuff coming up as well. Absolutely loads of stuff. Keep an eye for what other fundraiser quizzes we've got going on. All sorts.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've still got plenty of weekly quizzes, which are all free to go to. So check that out. Social media, website, goosesquizzes.com. That's where you can find it all. But thank you very much for listening. If there's an ability to like rate or review, please do that. It helps with the podcast gods. Helps us.
Yeah, the Roman and Greek ones.
Yep, both of them.
There's probably a patron saint of podcasting, isn't there? They get everywhere, the saints.
Probably by now, yeah. How long does it take to get a patron saint or something?
Well, there's patron saints of very, very modern stuff, isn't there? There's like patron saints of accountancy and things like that. It gets very niche.
Unofficial one. I don't know what the process is. Google says, from the Malta Independent. It's my favourite Maltese newspaper. It's
my most reliable source.
Dated 11 years ago. St. George Preka, the unofficial patron saint of podcasts.
Nice.
All right.
Is that another St. George other than the main man?
There was like five names back in those days.
I feel like anyone could claim to be the unofficial.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. You want to be a saint, Scott?
Mint cake.
I think you have to die.
Ah. Oh. Just be canonized?
I think...
Shot out of canon.
Ah, well. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Ta-ra.
This is a big shout out to all the Patreons that support the Fundraising Wing. Stephen Lamb, Gatho, Catherine Andrews, Russ Kirk, the Canadian half of Hugelit Goose, Luddite 16, Susie Pope, Joe Williams, Rachel Alexander, Howl Owl, Shara Gatari, Icy Canuck, Joanna MUFC Fan, Just a Girl in the USA, and the other Patreons who have chosen to remain anonymous. We love you all and are grateful for your involvement. If you want to support us helping provide charities with free fundraising quizzes, please visit patreon.com/goosesquizzes for more information.